702.
The Clement Magnatella Show.
Let's walk the talk.
All right, MEC. It's 8 minutes before 11 o'clock. That's the MEC of Transport Aid Gauteng. We're still having a conversation. He's just walked out of our makeshift studio here in Soweto in Clip Town. It's a special broadcast focusing on the state of our infrastructure. We've spoken about roads. I want us to touch on issues around policy now with Ngwaku Makaipia, who is the Acting Director General at the Department of Transport. Mr. Makaipia, good morning. Thank you so much for making time.
Good morning, Clement, and good morning to the listeners. And our apologies of not joining you there. We are at the Gaugelo Stimulation Center in Tembisa doing our contribution with our entity for the Nelson Mandela Day.
Yes, no, I do know that you guys were stuck there, but I appreciate you making time to be on the line with us. Just talk to us about, at a policy level, at national level, what are you doing as the Transport Department to safeguard infrastructure? There's policy, there's a bill that's been gazetted in Parliament. How is that going to change things?
Okay, thank you very much. You remember that the infrastructure challenges in terms of how it's been vandalized is a serious concern for government. And there were various initiatives that have been put, but critical was that as the Department of Transport, we then had a white paper on national rail policy that has been approved by Cabinet. We then start to deal with the issues of security in terms of how do we then make sure that we secure our rail infrastructure. And the policy really talks of critical elements. One, as the Department of Transport, how do we become part of the Critical Infrastructure Council, and what kind of mechanism do we put in terms of an overall coordinating strategy? One, not only even talking to PRASA, but going beyond PRASA, into working together with Transnet on a collaborative approach of how do we deal with those particular elements. And the other key element is how do we, in making sure that we become part of the infrastructure council, and how do we declare some of these rail facilities, including your depots and your stations, as critical infrastructure, so that you are able to then have the presence of police, like you'll see in OR Tambo and other critical infrastructure elements.
Yeah. So what is it going to take, though, for that to be declared critical infrastructure, so that you've got all those other resources coming in to assist?
The process is a real engagement within a government in terms of the procedures of the Critical Infrastructure Act. PRASA already has been instructed to then work on categorization of those facilities that we want to declare in terms of their nature of critical importance, including the value of the asset that we keep there, like, for example, the Volmerton Airport and Park Station, Petrola Station, others. And when that is already in the final stage, we'll then make our submission through the council, and then that will then be declared. And then when you then deal with that, then you then have a combination of both the police being part of station in those critical facilities and security of PRASA that you are insourcing in line with the integrated security plan.
Yeah, and I remember the Rapid Rail National Response Team that was established in the SAPS to safeguard rail infrastructure. I don't know what the success was, but I mean, looking at where the collapse and the vandalism of infrastructure is, clearly more still needs to be done. And I hear the police will be announcing some form of a task team that will look into how they can respond in safeguarding the infrastructure, and that's going to be launched next month. I want you to tell us about the private sector. This national rail policy framework, is it going to allow the private sector to operate and help, let me not say operate, but help in operating these rail services?
The rail policy really makes sure that it provides policy certainty. And say, as government, we have seen our challenges. But at a higher level, how we then bring other elements, which is the private sector, in working with us in the rail services. They've been knocking at our doors to then say, we want to assist, we want to help you. So the policy really brings critical elements, including concession of the rail network, wherein you have private sector coming in to work with us, either in coming to build a certain infrastructure, operate it and transfer it to government, obviously with government contribution. But there are initiatives where, for example, we already have existing infrastructure of government. And how do they come in terms of their putting in trains and run them in those particular routes? And we see that, for example, as another funding source, because government used to contribute both the rail infrastructure in terms of your below rail asset, which is your tracks and stations, and even by train at the same time. So if you have private sector coming in to is a relief from government, and then you can be able to make sure that we secure this infrastructure, we build it and create certainty in that particular aspect. And even other models, if private students, they want to partner with private sector to even run trains in terms of reducing risk in their system and all kind of things on other models. Yeah. The policy allows them to be able to do that. And those are some of the initiatives we are looking at.
And what do you say to some commuters that may be concerned that private sector involvement and collaboration may lead to this affordable mode of transport not really being affordable anymore?
We've always pronounced as government that passenger rail and commuter rail in particular, it is a public good. And we have made, even in researches all over and compared with other countries, there's nowhere where commuter rail makes profit. What we know, it then covers certain elements. And as the Department of Transport in government, even pronouncing it in the policy, we continuously talk of how we are going to subsidize the commuters within the over broader framework. So we are very clear, even in where we are going to bring in a private sector, we are dealing with those things. For example, one of the engagements we are having with Gautrain, because it has been looked at an elitist mode and everything, one of the key discussions with them is that moving forward into the extension and their next phase, how do they have a differentiated approach so that a person who will be able to take Gautrain coming from it in Soweto, for example, after the extension, coming from Diepsloot, will be treated differently in terms of the differentiated approach in terms of the subsidy regime. So we are aware of those particular issues, and we want to confirm that this is not privatization. It's how do we bring in private sector on board to be able to help us. And there's a couple of models that we can be able to explain that regard.
All right. Ngwaku Makaipela, Acting Director General at the Department of Transport. Thank you so much for making time. Coming up after the news at 11 o'clock, we are going to continue with our special broadcast here in Soweto in Cliptown. City Power is up next. We'll bring other interested stakeholders and groups as well to join the conversation.